This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about the variety of life insurance options and annuity or retirement plans is available at relevantradio.com, keyword COF.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
After the hour. Hello, hello, and welcome to On Call on Relevant Radio. On this program, each and every single solitary day, we are joined, blessed to be joined by Catholic clinical psychologists and physicians and authors and experts and spiritual directors. And they join us to help us face life and its many, many, many challenges with mature wisdom and confidence, and above all, with our beautiful Catholic faith. I'm your host, Wendy Weiss, and before I introduce our special guest today, let's ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit over this important hour. Will you pray with me, please? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructed the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. Thank you for praying with us. It's a delight always to welcome back to the program regular contributor, Dr. Joseph Coyle. Dr. Coyle is in private practice in the Waltham and Norwell areas of Massachusetts, Boston, Massachusetts. He is a licensed psychologist who offers psychotherapy in person and over the phone, if you qualify. He is a board-certified professional Christian counselor. He offers his clients, the opportunity to integrate religious and spiritual aspects into the work as appropriate. He joins us regularly, and he is joining us today. And I think it's really important for us to start where we're going to start, because I made a note after our last conversation. Welcome back, by the way. Advent blessings to you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. You too.
I made a note about the importance of a second opinion. This is something that we rarely, you know, we rarely hear about it. We rarely talk about it. But I think that it's really critical today, because you have a lot of probably young people, I imagine, college-age kids who have, at least if what you read online and so many of these tragic news stories, if they illustrate the rising level of some emotional issues, psychological issues that young people are experiencing in high school and college, on the college campuses today, you know, I think that parents are really kind of wondering, if my child is diagnosed with this, you know, this particular issue, should we seek a second opinion, or are we wasting time, you know, therapeutic time? How do you feel about that? I think that's kind of fascinating, because it's nothing to think of asking for a second opinion if you have a physical ailment. But when it comes to psychological or emotional, are people as likely to look for that second opinion when perhaps they should be?
Possibly not. The world of mental health is a tricky enterprise, as you know, and the instruments that you use to assess mental health is the therapist. And this is one of the kind of interesting challenges, even going through my training, that's one of the things that you learn there, the kind of the compass for what is normal or what is a disorder, a lot of times is very subjective and comes down to the particular clinician. So it's ironic, you know, the viewpoint that you articulated well there, that for medical issues and physical issues, which have more degrees of objectivity a lot of times as far as different tests that can be conducted or levels that can be taken of certain, phenomena in the body, we might be more apt to ask for second opinions, whereas for something mental health or psychological, where we don't really have those instruments and we don't really have those tests, we try to have questionnaires and so forth, but it largely comes down to the client's report and the clinician's view of the world and sometimes the family's input, very subjective. So I always, kind of put something out to my clients right off the bat that a second opinion is certainly something that can be useful, and if they have any questions around what I'm doing or the work that we're doing together, that's something they should certainly think about. But, you're probably right that it's less common for people to think about. The family, the involvement of the family can often be an important part of someone's treatment. From my side, it's always helpful to get a family member's take on things. Sometimes there's boundaries within families that the clients are working out, and it can be tricky to do that. But, in general, the more perspectives you have, the better. And a lot of times the second opinions come when family members have a question or a problem with the treatment, or they're not seeing gains, or they're not seeing results, or they're really, questioning the doctor. So as a clinician, it's helpful not to be working in a vacuum and to bring in the family as it's appropriate. And a second opinion is definitely one of the things that's good to do.
It seems that depression has become, clinical depression has become a really large umbrella. That there are probably a lot of variations of certain psychological situations or diagnosable situations that someone could be dealing with. And maybe they're lumped underneath that umbrella. Is that possible, doctor?
Sure. The nomenclature that we give these disorders, a lot of times we try to have these cookie cutter profiles, and, they look good on paper, but in practice, the lines are very blurry. So even within the different, we say, mood disorders, which include depression and bipolar and so forth, you have these lists of criteria, but a lot of times it looks like a list from a menu where you can choose, five from this category and three from this category, and the number of permutations that you can really have within that are vast. So, the question becomes, well, what is a typical presentation? And when you're dealing with the person, it always depends, and you can always have things that look different. So, again, it's important to be honing in on the key issues, I think. There are certain aspects of depression, for example, that you have, sometimes these we call vegetative symptoms of folks not able to get out of bed or sleeping a lot or feeling washed out, not a lot of energy. But sometimes it can go the other way, and you can have people that are not sleeping well at all. Appetite's another one that you can have a loss of appetite. You can have an over tendency to eat. So, these things are variable. There are trends that we can try to look at. Within bipolar, you have the two poles, of a depressed pole and a really energetic, or we say manic, pole that someone is kind of bouncing back and forth between. But the frequency of that, or what that high pole looks like and what that depressed pole looks like, can be very different. You can have somebody bouncing back and forth between that multiple times in a day. You can have somebody that only has one up in their life. So, really honing in on these, the crux of what's going on, can be very difficult. And, bipolar in particular can be misdiagnosed. And that's why, one of the reasons a second opinion can be really helpful.
We have a call, anonymous on line 6, and by the way, you are welcome to phone in at any time for Dr. Joseph Coyle. He is in private practice in the Boston suburbs of Waltham and Norwell. JosephCoyle.com is the website. As I said, please phone in anonymously, 877-766-3777. Anonymous on line 6, hi, welcome to Relevant Radio. You're our first caller for Dr. Coyle.
Yes, my question is about bipolar disorder, and how do you know when you've been competently diagnosed? Like, first of all, what is bipolar disorder, And what does it feel like? And how do you know when you have it? I know it's a big question. Can you?
Sure. Yep. No, it's a great question. Yep. So again, if you look at depression, you have a sense of a loss of energy, negative thinking. There's a slowing down generally. People will say, I don't know what I feel. I don't really feel anything. I feel achy. I feel kind of washed out. I can't really tell you that I feel angry, that I feel sad. I just feel numb. And so for significant level of depression that this is happening, I'm sleeping more than I should be. We say hypersomnia. I'm not able to get to work. I don't have any enjoyment in the things that I usually want to do. I have negative thoughts. In extreme cases, thoughts are hurting myself, and I'm impaired in that dimension. So with bipolar, you can have a presentation that really looks very much like that, but the way that it's defined, there needs to be one episode in the person's life where they have the exact opposite of that, really, where there's a sense of agitation, a burst of energy, which can be, it can feel good, but it's really getting in the way. It's an impairment. It gets the person in trouble with the law. It gets the person in trouble in their relationships. They lose their job. So, one of the things that happens is you can have someone that's diagnosed with just depression their whole life, but it can actually be bipolar the whole time. It just hasn't surfaced in that other pole. So, one of the ways, your question on how can you be confidently diagnosed with bipolar, you want to have a good sense, I think, of the pattern of the symptoms. It's hard to diagnose something like bipolar in one shot. So you want to get a really good sense of the history. For myself clinically, I want to get a good sense of how the person's mood and behavior is over time, say over a set of months. A lot of times someone that is bipolar, there will be this real difference in mood that's striking even between one session and the next. People want to be watching out for their triggers, so there want to be a good sense of, here's things we can point to as triggers for a mood that declines or elevates. One of the things in practice would be medication as well and the way the person responds to it, because one of the problems is if you're diagnosed with depression but it's actually bipolar, the medications that typically help for depression will push you into this elevated or manic state over time. And people will say, these antidepressants are not working well for me. I'm not feeling well from them, and sometimes I'm feeling worse. So I would want, a good sense of the medication history and a sense of when it's appropriate to do a trial of what we say a mood stabilizer for bipolar. So, you want a sense of the medical side of it, the psychological side. You want a real track of the symptoms over time to try to get a picture of what you're dealing with here, whether it be bipolar or we say unipolar depression.
And Anonymous, do you have a follow-up?
How quick?
Okay, I'm going to have
one vacillate from one pole to the other. Like, is it like quick orbiting, or is it a long span?
Anonymous, we're about 4 minutes late for a break, so I'm going to have to ask you to hold on just one moment, and then we'll come back, and Dr. Coyle will take the second part of your question. We're talking about diagnosing emotional issues, psychological issues, mood disorders, bipolar depression, with Dr. Joseph Coyle. He is in private practice in the Boston areas of Waltham and Norwell. JosephCoyle.com is the website. The number in the studio, join us anonymously, 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. We'll be right back.
Father Rich Simon, your friend in cyberspace, and I just wanted to mention that if you think this is fun, download the app.
Our Relevant Radio app has been downloaded now in every country on earth, thanks be to God.
Put it on your device. It's available for Android, iPhone, Kindle. The app is great.
Share Relevant Radio.
You know somebody who you want to share this show with, or any show, the whole radio station, it's all good. Tell them to get the app.
The Relevant Radio app, your Catholic everything app.
It's in your app store.
Maria, conceived. Hi, this is Father Rocky. Leading up to December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, I'd like to invite you to join us in a special novena to the Blessed Mother to pray for your family. This prayer is taken from the Handbook of Prayers. Third day, Mary, the handmaid of the Lord. Lord God, when your Son came down from heaven, Mary had conceived him in her heart before she conceived him in her womb. Grant that by holy and just deeds, we may show forth in our lives the Christ, whom we have received by faith, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. For more information, go to relevantradio.com, keyword novena.
One heart at a time.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff, inviting you to join us on the next Inner Life. Father Larry Richards will be our spiritual director, giving all of us a little help and hope on the journey.
I have a lot of Larry in me and not enough love in me. And so what can I do? I can sit there throughout my life and say, yeah, but that's the way I like it. Or I can take my life and say, God, you got a lot of work yet to do within me.
Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio mobile app.
There's a beer commercial that had the line, you only go around once in life, so you gotta grab for all the gusto you can. With that philosophy, people end up with one focus, the present moment, and whatever pleasure can be obtained in it. Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, and as Christians, our focus is on more than the present moment and on more than pleasure. We know that this life isn't the only one, and that when our journey through life has come to an end, we will begin a new life that will last forever. We also believe, as we say in the Creed, that Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Advent is a time for us to prepare for that second coming of Jesus and for that judgment. Here's something that Pope Francis said about the attitude we should have during this time of preparation for Jesus' second coming. The time of waiting for Christ's arrival is the time he gives to us, to all of us, before his final coming with mercy and patience. It is a time of watchfulness, a time in which we must keep alight the lamps of faith, hope, and charity, a time in which to keep our heart open to goodness, beauty, and truth. It is a time to live in accordance with God, because we do not know the day or the hour of Christ's return. Dear brothers and sisters, may looking at the last judgment never frighten us. Rather, may it impel us to live the present better. That's what this time of Advent is all about. It's a time to reflect a bit on your life and to ask yourself, am I ready to meet Jesus? If that thought frightens you, then now is a good time to get yourself ready to meet him, because one day you will.
We want to pray with you and for you. You can share your prayer request with us at relevantradio.com. Simply click on the prayer request button or call 888-577-5443. All of your prayer requests are kept anonymous and are prayed for individually before the Most Blessed Sacrament. That's the number in the studio for Catholic therapist Dr. Joseph Coyle. His website is josephcoyle.com. If you are in the Boston area, the Waltham and Norwell suburbs, that's where he is in private practice. And after all of these conversations, Dr. Coyle, I can't imagine why anyone, any Catholic wouldn't seek out Catholic therapy, whether that is for this type of thing or marital issues. I just do not understand that. So please, certainly, if you are looking for help in any of these psychological or emotional areas, start first with a good Catholic therapist. And Anonymous, thank you for holding through the break. You wanted a follow-up question with Dr. Coyle. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a follow-up on the movements. How quick are these jerking, interior, vacillating experiences from one pole to the other? Does that measure matter?
Well, it matters certainly as far as the person's experience when the cycling, we say, from the, say, a down to an up can occur multiple times in a day. And that's going to be an incredibly difficult and jarring experience for someone. They're going to feel a lot of instability with that. There can be anxiety and panic that goes along with that. They can be physically exhausted from it. But there's really not a clear definition on you know, how long it should take. It's a continuum. There can be a range. So this rapid cycling, we say, that can occur, you know, say many times in a day or week, can be one presentation. You can have the cycle take longer weeks or months. You can have, as I said, a person that has only one up in their whole lifetime. So it's very varied in the way it can look. All of these could potentially come under the same nomenclature for bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. Another thing that can happen is that you can have, as far as the severity of the poles, the depressive episode or the manic episode, you can have experiences of a cycling or an up and down mood pattern that's not as severe, but there's still clearly impairment and you know, something abnormal there, and we would call that a hypomanic episode. So that still, again, comes under a bipolar nomenclature, but there's often designations of whether, you know, it's, we say bipolar 1 for the full-blown and bipolar 2 for the lesser ones. But, you know, as far as the theory behind it, that there's this kind of rhythm that's problematic to the mood cycle.
And lastly, doctor, how do you support someone that's in this situation? Because it sounds not just exhausting for the patient, but the family. Like, how do you keep up and know what's going on? What do we do as the support system?
Very much so. I mean, educating and really being a part of the treatment as much as the client will let you. Again, I feel like it's a real help to them to have that support from a family systems perspective, that you are really looking at the moving parts here and understanding the person's triggers, understanding the signs, having them really articulate for you where they are. Sometimes there's a poor level of self-monitoring that goes along with this, so it would be hard for them to really tell you where they feel they're at. Sometimes they can't see it. So to have someone that is there with them and supportive of them and loving to be able to help them put language to that and help them identify the triggers that they can internalize, that can be critical.
Thank you, Anonymous. And let's go to Anonymous on line 5. Welcome to Relevant Radio. Thank you so much for holding.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'm Anonymous.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm calling Dr. Coyle to see if I can get some interesting help.
Okay.
You're on, Dr. Coyle?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Good to talk to you.
I'm an 87-year-old senior, single, never been married, I don't have a family. And about 3 years ago, my health began to be challenging when I fell and broke a hip.
Oh.
Then I have a very sensitive stomach. Food doesn't like me, and I don't like food. And recently, simple things are getting to be so challenging, I want to go to bed most of the time.
Yep.
And sometimes I think I'm dying.
Okay.
And we have 1 minute, so I know he's going to get started, but then will you hold through the break, Anonymous?
Certainly can.
Okay. Go right ahead, Joe.
Well, you know, a basic thing would be what kind of supports can you be plugged into as far as, you know, a doctor, a therapist, a community, different groups that you're involved in, prayer group, church. That would be a main thing as an initial step.
Okay, and we will come back for those other steps, the secondary steps, in just a moment for Anonymous on Line 5. Everybody pray for Anonymous on Line 5. We will be back with her and with Dr. Coyle. We're talking about mood disorders today. We're talking about depression, bipolar. Join us. This is Relevant Radio.
Ever hear the phrase, put your money where your mouth is? It means you believe in something so much that you're willing to back it up with your hard-earned dollars. Well, that's what we do at Catholic Order of Foresters. We're a Catholic life insurance company that provides members with outstanding financial protection in the form of quality life insurance and annuities. But what really sets us apart are our value-added fraternal benefits. Our members share the common bond and values of Catholicism. We support our Catholic community through fraternal outreach of spiritual, social, and community service projects. Protect your family. Secure your financial future, all while living a life in harmony with your beliefs. Catholic Order of Foresters, dedicated to bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. Add Relevant Radio as a beneficiary, and they can receive 5% of your total policy amount without reducing your family's benefit and at no additional cost. Call Mark at 855-696-2085. That's 855-696-2085.
We talk about the threat to religious liberty in this country, and I don't think people believe it. The head of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, he recently said this, and I'll quote him. The phrases religious liberty and religious freedom will stand for nothing except hypocrisy so long as they remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance. That is so bogus. I'm joined today by Professor Robert Destrut. Give me your take on what you now see unfolding.
Well, it is as bad as you say it is. We're kind of reaching the end of 50 years of jurisprudence where the court has, in fits and starts, largely enshrined the leftist view that religion is best seen and not heard. You keep it in private, and how dare you speak when you're not spoken to. And that's really where we are now.
Drew Mariani.
The latest news and the issues of the day through the eyes of our faith.
Afternoons at 3 Eastern, 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Brandon Vaught's our guest on Morning Air, author of the new book Saints and Social Justice.
By seeing Christ in the Eucharist, you enable yourself to see him in the poor, and vice versa. The more that you meet Christ among the poor, the more poignantly you'll be able to see Christ in the sacraments. When we focus on that primordial theme of the life and dignity of every human person, that can begin to fuel a revolution of love.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant Radio. Giving voice to our shepherds. Relevant Radio.
We should be deeply concerned about the threats to everyone's exercise of religious liberty.
Bishop William Callahan.
All of those great saints who had the temerity to oppose the ruler. And for us, it seems so strange because we want to be comfortable and we want to be okay. And I think the day of comfortable predictability with regard to our lives as Catholics and our lives as Christian people, people of faith, I think that's changing. I think we're really confronting an issue now that is helping us to understand that, we're going to be uncomfortable pretty soon, a lot more uncomfortable than we ever were before. And these are difficult times, but they call us to a sense of an awareness of who we are and what we believe.
Giving voice to our shepherds. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
It says public funding for abortion is a Catholic social justice value.
Catholics for Choice, it's a letterhead funded by secular foundations to advance contraceptive abortion agenda. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has said that Catholics for Choice is not a Catholic organization, does not speak for the Catholic Church, and in no way represents an authentic Catholic opinion.
A closer look, 6 Eastern, 5 Central, on Relevant Radio.
It's 27 minutes before the hour on this Friday. We are visiting today with Dr. Joseph Coyle. He is a Catholic therapist in private practice in the Boston areas of Waltham and Norwell. And his website is josephcoyle.com. We're talking about diagnosing bipolar disorder. We're talking about mood disorders, depression. If you have any question, the number in the studio is 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. Back to Anonymous we go. The floor is yours, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello, Dr. Coyle.
Hi.
Yes. I am depressed, and
my life has totally changed. I am not who I was. I don't feel like I was. And as I mentioned, I think I am dying. I saw my doctor not too long ago. He thinks I'm fine. And I mentioned to him I hit the top of my head going into a taxi cab one time, and I thought I knocked myself out. So I said to him, would he suggest that I have an MRI or a CAT scan?
Yeah.
He said, not an MRI. Is it my age, or is it because something is happening to me, or I'm dying? I'm a very practicing Catholic.
Good.
And
it's great that you ran this by your doctor. That's definitely the first step to rule out any medical contributors here. But you may also want to get a consultation with a therapist that can also help you tease out from the emotional side what kinds of things are going on.
I really believe in that.
Yeah, and certainly they would have a lot of tools for you to bring to bear on depression. And also, you know, sometimes these concerns that you have can be aspects of anxiety that are going on too, and you might feel, you know, sometimes anxiety can show itself physically, and you might have aches and pains and so forth that are actually have a component of an emotional issue there, right? So I think you should cover your bases. That would be one concrete thing to do. Would be even your doctor may have referrals to you of folks in the area, certainly with Catholic therapists. That's another resource that you have there. But I think I would want you talking to somebody. I would want you plugged into people, not trying to carry this by yourself or try to sort all this out on your own. With what you're dealing with, you know, to be isolated is not the move. And so the more that you can be plugged into things socially and getting out, even getting out of your head, you know, can be helpful. So that you find some helpful relationships, again, can be prayer group, could be a priest or pastor, a counselor, you know, just that you're really leveraging supports around you so you don't feel like you're on an island.
Is that possible, Anonymous?
Pardon?
Is that possible?
Yeah, I've always had a spiritual guide, so you know, I always had someone who helped me along that line. My other question is, could this be a result of my age? Could I be getting this illness that people get when they're old?
It's anything's possible, and as far as, you know, the physical things, obviously you're going to have more physical issues with age. You can also have more emotional issues with age, even just by the very fact that you feel like the support system that you used to have is not there, or the vitality that you used to have is not there, the energy isn't, the activities, you know, you can be limited in certain ways. That's part of the reality. So there might be a new chapter.
I'm extremely limited right now. After being a skier and everything all my life, this is a turnaround in my life. What is that illness that causes that's affiliated with old age? What do they call that?
Well, there can be memory issues with old age called dementia, right? And you can have cognitive issues through that. That's one that comes to mind. You know, there are many. You can have depression that crops up, you know, as far as a result of aging. So it's tough to tease out what's what. But, you know, I want you, you know, out and among people and getting as many different takes on this as you can and not trying to solve it by yourself.
Anonymous, I promise you that everyone listening will be praying for your peace, and that these feelings, these anxious feelings, will certainly subside. So we're so happy that we called, or that you called Relevant Radio, and we will be praying for you this Advent and Christmas season. God bless you. Let's go to Anonymous on line 8, also very patiently waiting. Thank you so much for your patience. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm similar to the lady before. I'm a senior, 60-plus years. I live alone as well. I've been feeling, I don't know if it's a moodiness or some type of bipolar issue. My thing is sometimes I feel overwhelmed, sometimes what to do next. Sometimes I'm a bit of a hoarder also. I put things, you know, I don't do things if I put them behind. So when I want to do them, it's too much and I feel overwhelmed. Sometimes I can little bit of a, sometimes an outburst, sometimes I'm in the middle, in the neighborhood store where I normally go, and somebody might say something, I might just outburst or just yell or something. I don't know what it is. I used to do it in the past, so I used to feel this anger coming over me, and I would just stay quiet, and many times I used to outburst, sometimes in the, at work or something like that. And I have different kind of moods. Sometimes I feel kind of, you know, I don't want to get up from the bed, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Sometimes I get happy and like I'm okay again. So I don't know if it's moodiness, sometimes it's bipolar or age or what it is. So I have different things going on me, which I don't know, you know, how to, what is it really? I'm not a medicine. I don't take medicine. I go out, try to talk to people, but I have a tendency to sometimes, yell. I'm on the defensive side if somebody says something to me instead of taking it easy, or I might just outburst and people look at me like funny in the store that I normally go to.
Is that an impulse control issue, doctor? Or, you know, she's talking about outburst. Is that impulse?
Sure, you can have impulse issues along with that. You know, I would do similar things as with the last caller, that you're ruling out any medical issues that are going on. You know, you don't want to miss the boat on that. A lot of times you can have issues with your thyroid that are, you know, wreaking some havoc with emotions. That's one issue. Blood pressure, these other kinds of things. So, you know, make sure to get your physical if you haven't done that. You know, and again, what supports do you have that you can plug into? A lot of times when you have these outbursts or things with impulse or anger, it's a sign that you're kind of backed up. You're holding too much. You're not really listening or paying attention to feelings as they come, or you're not aware of that. So just plugging into somebody that can help you with that, again, could be a spiritual director, could be a counselor, therapist, could be a prayer group, just that helping you try to get still and understand what's going on for you internally. So to be looking for some guidance could be really helpful on that. And then you can also do a simple thing of just track, you know, keep track in a notebook of how you're doing from day to day and which days are particularly bad or which days are particularly good, and then try to be a little bit of a detective as, you know, with the days that were bad, well, what happened that day, or who did you talk to, or what things came right before that, or what did you dream about, what did you watch on television? You know, there's so much bad news these days. Are you having reactions to these things that doesn't really have an outlet? So I want you to try to find some place, person, or persons to plug into that you can have an outlet on some of these things, and then a lot of times you see this kind of thing calm down.
How does that sound, Anonymous?
Oh, it sounds good. But what about bipolar? You think I have maybe, I don't know how many stages of bipolar are there.
Bipolar wouldn't be my first guess, because going by the statistics, it would have cropped up for you and you would have had issues with it a lot sooner than now. It's possible that you have had them and it's gone missed, but a lot of times if it was something, you know, like that, somebody would have caught it. So that wouldn't be my first thought, but you can certainly be dealing with a depression, anxiety. You know, I would start more generally or kind of less heavy, you know, in that, and explore that side of things first.
Thank you, Anonymous, for the phone calls. And again, you're going to have the prayers of everyone listening with you as you go forward. Dr. Joseph Coyle is here taking your calls and questions about mood disorders, whether that's depression, bipolar, any issue that you need some help with. Please phone in and take advantage of his expertise and his generosity. So generous. 877-766-3777. Let's go to Edward, listening to 950 AM in Illinois. That's WNTD. Hi, Edward. Welcome.
Hi. It's nice to speak to you.
Hi, you
nice
too.
Nice to speak to you.
Hi, doing good. I have two questions. Hopefully, if you have time for them. My first question is for depression is that doctors prescribe medicines like Zoloft, which is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Yep.
And from what I've read now, doctors and scientists believe that serotonin is not the only neurotransmitter involved in these mood disorders. But they seem to continue prescribing medicines that only work on serotonin. And I wanted to get your opinion on that, or to know if there's other medicines out there that that work on these other neurotransmitters.
Good for you. Great question. Yes, the answer is there are newer medications that do work on multiple neurotransmitters, particularly norepinephrine. Drugs like Celexa and Cymbalta are newer ones that are being more and more frequently prescribed to do and address just what you're identifying, which is to target multiple neurotransmitters. But the impact of something like Zoloft and the SSRIs is certainly well researched and documented, and I would imagine there's more literature on their efficacy. And so the fact that there are newer drugs and a new sense of that we need to work on multiple receptors and so forth doesn't negate that the impact that these things have had and continue to have, and a lot there's been a lot of literature on these, probably more so than the newer drugs have had the ability to get. So I wouldn't have it be an either-or situation. You can certainly have benefits from both, and the fact of the matter is that people are very different as far as their makeup and chemistry, and even within certain classes of medication, someone might respond to one SSRI and not another. So to have multiple classes of meds, the serotonin ones, the norepinephrine, it makes it better as far as having more possibilities of things that might work for people.
Okay. May I ask my second question, too?
Sure. Yep.
Oh, okay. I've been listening to you for a while on the radio, and you've identified that these mood disorders are due to the chemistry in the brain. And given that, is there any point to talk therapy or psychotherapy? And would a person be better going to a neurologist?
Sure.
As opposed to psychotherapy, because I don't see what the point is of sitting down with, someone talking about these feelings. While I'm sure it makes you feel better, I'm not sure that it would cure you or make these symptoms go away. And my question is, and I guess that doctors and scientists have proven that it's really a scientific or brain chemistry problem. So I don't see the benefit of seeing a psychologist or going for psychotherapy when you'd be better off going to see a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, or a neurologist.
Sure. And, that's a great perspective, and your position is valid. It's not one that I agree with. Even to say that the entire disorder boils down to chemistry is not something I would agree with. Even from a spiritual point of view that we have, that we're more than the sum of our parts, I can talk about studies that have been done on identical twins, which are often, looked at here. And if you have identical twins, they find situations where they're raised apart for whatever reason. And one of them develops bipolar disorder and the other doesn't. So when you look at things like this, you'd say, we're holding the genetics and the chemistry constant, as constant as we can with two people. We would expect if one has it, the other should have it. If there was nothing to do with environment, if there was nothing to do with the emotional side of things, then you should have a one-to-one correlation in situations like that, and you don't. So, looking as far as the impact of the emotions, again, I think there's a chicken and egg scenario here that the brain chemistry can very often be the result of, let's say, an aversive environmental or emotional situation that the person is in. So if I ask you, what is it that's making you depressed? If you answer, because my serotonin is low, it doesn't address the problem that, you're in an abusive relationship, your mortgage just got, pulled out from under you, you just lost your job. So the chemistry can be the result of the things that are happening in the world that, that have an emotional impact on you. So I think it's your perspective that you look at it. I like your take as far as let's look at the medical side. I'm a pragmatist. Let's look at the psychological. Let's look at the emotional. Let's look at the spiritual. Let's get a holistic view of the whole person and use meds for sure as a component, but not limit ourselves to any one of those where we might be missing something important.
Thank you for the call, Edward, and we will get to Anonymous on Line 5, Anonymous on Line 7, and 8, and 9 when we come back. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. Dr. Joseph Coyle is here.
Susan Tassoni is with us. She's written several best-selling books for our Sunday visitor. We're talking about purgatory here. The new book is the St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory.
Purgatory is one of the most often asked topics among the faithful. Our Sunday visitor did a Pew study, and that was the most often asked question. They wanted to learn more about purgatory. Working with our Sunday visitor, we're able to bring back and explain to people what it is and what it's not. People think it's fire and it's brimstone, and it's really not, Glenn. It's God's love and His mercy. That's what it's all about. You know, God's not trying to lower the boom on us. He's not trying to say, you failed me completely. I'm through with you. He's trying to get His unprepared children to be prepared to stand before Him. You have to be totally pure to stand before Him. So that's what it is. It's His love and His mercy, and it's a preparation to be able to stand before Him.
Clear Catholic teaching.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
RelevantRadio.com, updated daily with inspiring stories that will deepen your faith. At Keyword Advent, you'll find special Advent prayers, a week-by-week Advent guide, and much more. At Keyword Christmas, we have the Christmas Family Rosary Novena and our special Christmas programming schedule. And click on Prayer Request and let us know your Christmas prayer intention. Check out Keyword Advent and Keyword Christmas, new at RelevantRadio.com. Chuck Neff.
I remember years ago I had a friend who spent quite a bit of time over in Calcutta and working directly with St. Mother Teresa. And she was obviously so moved and touched by the mission over there, she wanted to stay and help over there. And Mother said to her, look, you need to go back home and you need to do what's in front of you. The simplicity of just doing what's in front of us, that's so important, I think.
The Inner Life, weekdays 12 Eastern, 11 Central on Relevant Radio.
The Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their variety of life insurance options and annuity or retirement plans available at relevantradio.com, keyword Forester. It's 8 minutes before the hour, and I need to thank our team, our midday team here, my producer, Tim Mersch, Sarah Tafoya, and who is great with child, and her baby. I need to thank her baby, too, because the baby's part of the team, so God bless you, little baby, and Bill Wooten. Thank you for everything you do every day to make this program so edifying and so wonderful. Let's go back to the phones. Anonymous on line 7. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Yes. Hi, doctor. I was, my name is Patty, and I was diagnosed with paranoia, and I have three little kids, and I just want to know what I do see a psychiatrist, but I just still don't understand what paranoia is.
Okay. Well, you can have a sense of anxiety. You can have a real fear about divulging certain aspects of yourself or telling certain things about yourself. You can have a feeling like people are really focused on you and they're watching you, or they're, you know, really directing a lot of energy towards you. And, you know, a lot of times this can be incorrect. So your mind can play tricks on you sometimes. And when people say paranoia, these are the things that I think of, you know, off the top of my head. This, you know, is a situation. A lot of these symptoms, again, I have to say, we have to pull from all the different spheres that we have here. This is something where I'm glad you're seeing a psychiatrist, because I've seen many, many cases where the medication can really help turn the volume down or eliminate, you know, these kinds of symptoms. So I'm very glad you're plugged into that.
Yeah, I take Abilify. Is that appropriate for what I have, or?
Yep. Abilify is definitely one that I hear for this, so yes.
When you say, thank you so much for the phone call, Anonymous, when you say turn down the volume, that's a very interesting way of describing it. Is it like that for the patient, Dr. Coyle? You know, where, you know, sometimes the moment or things are really amplified. Is that the impact of the medication? I just think that's a fascinating way of actually looking at it.
Yes, and I guess that again kind of underlies my bias on, you know, a lot of times it's not medication, period. It's not
right.
That you take this medication and that's the whole story. For something like paranoia, I would think the medication is going to be a greater percentage of the issue than for other things. But there are other things to look at, the relationships, the life picture of the person, you know, so I can't get my arms around those bigger picture things if I'm hampered and plagued with these thoughts all day. So the medication is to turn the volume down on that, on depression, anxiety, so that I can get to the bottom of the other aspects of what's going on.
That's a great way of looking at it. In case I would imagine people have unrealistic expectations of exactly what the medication is going to do for them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anonymous on line 8, you are a very patient soul. We appreciate that. I'm sorry. You are on the air with Dr. Coyle on Relevant Radio. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Doctor, recently I have a college-age student who wants to come home. Sophomore, and he has been diagnosed with anxiety in the past. His doctor put him on citalopram. He does, I notice, have mood swings, either being high or low, sometimes have an irritability, definitely like towards, you know, just questions asked or whatever. His doctor recently bumped up his medicine, Celexa to 40 milligrams. My question to you is, like, should he be seeing, because there is alcohol, there's possibly marijuana use happening, should we be taking him to, like, psychiatry? Because the doctor who did subscribe the medication is not, you know, is not a psychiatrist.
Yeah, great question, and good that you're in the loop with him there. Yes, certainly the substance abuse was going to be something I would ask about. And with that, you know, there are plenty of general practitioners that will prescribe psych meds, and they're comfortable doing that, and they're competent doing that. I think most of them would tell you that's not their specialization, and a psychiatrist or nurse practitioner that has that specialty could offer more insights. That's always fine to ask for that consultation. Certainly a therapist sounds appropriate here to catch the other sides of things. Again, this is a good case where the medication alone, there's not a medication for substance abuse. You know, there's certainly medications you can take to dull the impact of certain things, but substance abuse is a symptom of some underlying emotional problems is my view there, and you're trying to solve a problem there, and that's something you really need to unpack and take time to do, which people that tend to abuse substances want things right now and don't want to do that. So for sure, to have them plugged into somebody that can meet with them regularly, or groups, 12-step programs, somebody that's going to help them get to the bottom of their patterns, in addition to, you know, the help that they would get from the meds.
How does that sound?
It's like one of those questions where, you know, you don't know what came first.
Right.
As a mom, like, I can see that he's had anxiety issues in the past, even going back to, like, a junior high age.
And I'm so sorry. I'm not sure if you can hear the music, caller. That's the end of the program. You can access all of the other information that Dr. Coyle has shared with us through our archives on the on-call page. Dr. Coyle, thank you so much again. Advent blessings to you, and have a Merry Christmas. I'll be in touch for next year. Thank you all for listening. Drew is next.
Thanks for listening to this hour of On Call on listener-supported Relevant Radio. For information on guests and topics, go to relevantradio.com and enter keyword Wendy. That's relevantradio.com, keyword Wendy.